said somewhere, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? What are human beings? In the 8th Psalm, the question is meant to express wonder. The strategy of the psalmist Marilyn Robinson writes is to close the infinite distance between God and humankind by confounding all notions of scale. If the great heavens are the work of God's fingers, what are small and mortal human beings? But on this World Communion Sunday, species and the emphasis in our asking first turns our wonder into wondering. What are human beings? The answer surely depends on where you begin and with whom. If you begin with yourself and Harvard scientist Mark Hauser, you may conclude that what makes you human are your cognitive abilities. You can generate a limitless variety of words and concepts. You are able to mingle ways of knowing what you know. You think abstractly beyond what you can sense. You create meaning symbolically. If this is what makes you a human being, then will you cease to be human when a severe stroke takes these cognitive abilities from you? If you begin with yourself and Cambridge philosopher George Sawyer, it is your ability to hope, to speak in the future tense, that makes you distinctively human. Animals would appear to know presentness, and one supposes a measure of remembrance, he writes. But the future tense, the ability to discuss possible events on the day after one's funeral, or in stellar space a million years hence, looks to be specific to Homo sapiens. It is only human beings, so far as we can conceive, who have the means of altering their world by resort to if clauses. If hope is what makes beings human, are beings deprived of hope by despots or oligarchs or generations of poverty less or no longer human beings? If you begin with yourself and Alan Turing, a Brit who in 1951 famously created the Turing test, it assessed a machine's ability to exhibit intelligent behavior indistinguishable from the human mind. And maybe what counts as human, a certain kind of intelligence, even if that intelligence resides in a machine. 40 years later, a machine actually passed the test. Does this mean if your child's IQ is below 100, he's not quite human? Tragically, Turing's sexual orientation was considered less than human by British society in the 50s. He was arrested for gross indecency, underwent chemical castration as his punishment, and is thought to have committed suicide in 1954. If your child comes out of the closet tonight around the kitchen table, will she still be less than fully human? opinions, our sexual orientation are all a reflection. The measure of what it is to be fully human. And not only does this affect the sort of society we create, and who counts for human in it. Male slave, you remember, was 3/5 of a human being, according to our Constitution in 1787, for purposes of the census and seats in Congress. Women, of course, were not counted at all. It affects the sort of society we create when it counts for a human being. It also, though, it's not as acting and reacting for others in ways that, in a word, are inhumane. So, when the psalmist and the writer of the letter to the Hebrews ask themselves the same question, they began not with themselves, they began instead with God. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have such a glory above the heavens. The psalmist's cosmology causes him to look up in his three-story universe to the dwelling place of God above the heavens. Imagine the pilgrims in the middle of the night with no streetlights, no glare from a shopping center, but only the lights is. If you want to see what it looks like to be human and made in the image of God, look to Jesus. The sight will take your breath away. He is the one who was made for a little while, lower than the angels, humiliated in flesh of our flesh, so that we might know our true humanity, by seeking in his humility and lowliness the glory and honor of being human. The effect is similar to the effect of when he was high on the psalmist. Initially seeing Jesus, we are undone by how far it is we have fallen from the human being we were made to be. But look again. And we see in him our human being, with all its sufferings and sin and brokenness and homesickness. We see ourselves whole, assumed, redeemed, and finally presented as holy ourselves before God's throne of grace. A few months before he was executed by the Nazis, Dietrich Bonhoeffer personalized the psalmist's question: "Who am I?" his poem begins. "They often tell me I stepped from my cell's confinement calmly, cheerfully, firmly, like a square from his country house. Who am I? They also tell me I bore the days of misfortune equally, smilingly, proudly. Am I then really all that which other men tell of? Or am I only what I myself know of myself? Restless and longing and sick, like a bird in a cage, weary and empty of praying and thinking and making, faint and ready to say farewell to it all. Who am I?" They mock me, these lonely questions of mine. "Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine." What are human beings? Thou knowest, O God.